In prayer. God, we thank you as Pastor Lord. Michael comes and shares that you would just anoint him, anoint the word as we dive into the word of God. Let the word of God speak into our lives and bless it. And may we walk in obedience to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, New Life Fellowship.
Good morning.
Oh, you look alive and well today. Are you excited to be here today? Good, good. That is great. I hope you have your Bibles. We're going to be looking at the words. How many of you got a bulletin when you were walking in today? If you didn't get a bulletin, real quick, if I could just have somebody at the round table hand some bulletins out. If you didn't get it, just raise your hand. And on the back of our bulletin, every Sunday, we always put our sermon outline there. And you can fill in the blanks. And the reason we do fill in the blanks is just kind of keep you a little bit engaged in it. And as you look at the fill in the blanks today, I know what you're saying. Oh, my. He's got a 7-week series, and I do, and it's going to take me probably 7 hours to preach it. And so anyway, just kind of bolt in, and we're talking about stewardship. Everybody say stewardship. And the Lord wants us to be stewards of everything that He has given to us. And so that is what Pastor Dane started a couple weeks ago, is just talking about stewardship. And we're going to be looking at it a little bit more this morning. Before we get into it, I'd just like to give a shout out to one of our awesome volunteers, and that's Derek. Derek in the back, he came. I believe every day this week just to help us out. And Derek, we sure do appreciate everything that you're doing for us back there, just to help us out with our PowerPoints and all of the electronic stuff there. And so God bless you. So, you and I, when it comes right down to it, we've all heard the commercial, what's in your... Oh, yeah, you're good, okay. All right, let's all... What's in your... Well, okay, maybe you're getting there. What's in your wallet? That's how the little commercial goes. But I thought, well, I want to title my sermon today something along that lines, and that is, what's in your portfolio? And if I ask you this morning about your portfolio, how many of you know that you really have just two portfolios? Now, you may say, well, now, wait. I've got my IRA, I've got my 403, I've got my other retirement, I got my house, I got my pension, I got a bunch of portfolios. What I would like to suggest to you this morning is this. You have two portfolios. One is earthly treasures, and that portfolio has all the other little portfolios I just named in it. And then you have another portfolio, and that portfolio is heavenly investments. Everybody say heavenly investments. That is what New Life Fellowship is about. Heavenly investments. Investing in the lives of others. Investing in God's kingdom. And we're going to talk about that first. But before we talk about heavenly investments, I want us for a little while to just look at earthly treasures. You have number one in your notes. Earthly treasures deteriorate and depreciate. It just seems like they're always going down in value. It just seems like everything that we have, no matter what it is, it's very volatile. It goes up and down with the stock market. I went out a couple years ago, and I bought me a truck, and I really enjoy my truck. I like it a lot. But do you know that that truck has done nothing but depreciate from the day I drove it off the lot? And now there's, you know, you get little things after a year or two. One of the headlights went out on it. I took it over to Jason, and Jason got it fixed. No sooner do I get that little headlight fixed, I kid you not, within three months, the other headlight. I think Jason put a bad headlight in the other one so he'd get the business. And it's just like, if it's not one thing, it's another thing. I look at it and I say, why is this, Lord? Have you ever seen the show Old Barn Finds? Yeah. You ever see that? And they have these old cars that are show cars, classic cars. They'll find a 1956 Corvette and they'll pull it out there, and some old man had it and he died. And he passed it on to his children. Now it's just been sitting in there collecting dust and rust and all that kind of stuff. And then they're able to take it and they try to restore it and all that kind of good stuff. The passage says in Matthew 9, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and where thieves break in. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Let me just ask you something. Have you ever had something stolen from you? Raise your hand if you ever had something stolen from you. Yeah, it just feels, it's a sense of violation that somebody has taken something from you that didn't belong to them, and they took it. And Matthew is telling us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that don't put your treasures, don't put your hope and trust in these kind of things, because everything that we have, it's going to be eaten by moths, and it is potentially going to be stolen. I had a little 1985 Toyota MR2 back in the day, and somebody stole that right out of the driveway, right in broad daylight. And they stole it, and they stripped it on the inside and recovered the car. And I look, I can't even drive the car. It doesn't even have any seats. They took the seats out. And I asked the police officer, I says, why would anybody take seats out of a car? And he said, well, he said, your particular style, little sports car, he says, they like the little bucket seat. And he says, they like to put them in the back of a pickup truck. And so that people can sit back there and look, wow, if you want my seats that bad, I'll give them to you. Don't steal my car. Earthly treasures deteriorate and they depreciate. Number two, earthly treasures are meaningless, like chasing the wind. Earthly treasures are meaningless, like chasing the wind. The man who was filled with the most wisdom next to Jesus Christ that walked on our planet was Solomon. And Solomon, he pens these words. He says, I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes, not just regular homes, huge homes for myself, and planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks. Wow, it sounds nice. Filling them with all kinds of trees and fruit trees. I built reservoirs. I also owned large herds and flocks. I collected great sums of silver and gold. This guy's got bank. This guy is wealthy. This guy has really got it made. He's got everything that he could possibly want. He said, I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. But as I looked at everything that I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. Earthly treasures, understand this, earthly treasures are meaningless and chasing after the wind. You get and you want more. You get more and you want more. You get more and want more and you want more after that. And that's what happened to Solomon. Solomon kept acquiring things. He kept acquiring more and more. And as he acquired more and more, he found out how meaningless life really was. And it was like chasing the wind when he chased after things that money bought him. Number three, earthly treasures can desensitize us to the needs of others. Do you know that? Money and that possessions can desensitize us, earthly treasures, they can desensitize us to the needs of other people. Luke chapter 16 says, there once was a rich man, expensively dressed in the latest fashion. He wasted his days in conspicuous consumption. A poor man named Lazarus was covered with sores and had been dumped on his doorstep. All Lazarus lived for was to get a meal from the scraps off the rich man's table. His best friends were the dogs who came and licked his sores. You can become desensitized by those who live right outside your door when you have all the needs and all of the possessions that you're trying to get. And when you get all of the possessions that you're trying to get, it desensitizes the heart towards the needs of others. You know one thing I love about New Life Fellowship? I love that you are getting behind our mission. That is showing that you are not being desensitized towards the needs of others. That shows that you have heart. Now, that's the good news. Now, if I might say this, on the other side of that coin is this. If we're supporting 21 or 22 missionaries right now, that means there's 22 giving individuals in here that are doing that. And some are supporting more than one missionary. So my encouragement to you this morning is this. We still need more people to step up to the plate, and I'm not afraid to say it. We need to step up to the plate and say, how can I be sensitized towards the needs of others when I have been given so much? Amen. We need to be sensitized more in our hearts and our spirits of not only those who are on foreign soil, but those who are right here in our very midst. Number four, earthly treasures don't go to heaven with you. I know we've all seen the pictures before of a hearse, you know, with a U-Haul and, you know, leaving the... Yeah. It doesn't happen that way. And when we get to heaven, we don't want any of the junk that we have accumulated down here to pollute heaven. Because the things that Jesus Christ has set aside for us, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the things that he has prepared for those who love the Lord. And so I'm saying, Lord, I cannot wait to see what you have prepared for me. And all the stuff that I have, all the stuff that I hold on so tightly to, God says, please just leave it there because I've got plans for it. And I want to tell you something. God has plans for all of the riches that you and I have. I'm going to talk about that one here in just a second. Number five, earthly treasures can drive you to do unthinkable things. Earthly treasures can drive you to do unthinkable things. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and to many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and into destruction. For the love of money, everybody say the love of money. Oh, the love of money. Oh, the love of money. I need more money. If I get one more dollar, and then you get that dollar, I need another dollar. And it's like, really, where does the madness stop? Because this says the love of that dollar is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith, and they have pierced themselves with many griefs. Do you know? I'm not asking you to raise your hand right now, but do you, and don't nudge anybody, but do you know somebody that has the love for money and it is desensitizing them to spiritual things? Paul writes, and he says, Demas, who was the co-pastor with him, a co-laborer, he says, Demas, I don't have the words up here on the, but Demas, having loved this present world, has forsaken me, and he has gone in another direction. This is a guy that was involved in ministry. This is a guy that was anointed by the Lord. This is a guy that had a true conversion experience. And Paul says, because of the love of money, because of the things of this world, Demas has, he's not only forsaken me, I can get by with that, but he's forsaken the call. He's forsaken the call of God, and he has let the things of this world grab his attention and become a snare to me. And so now Paul is out on his own doing the work of the ministry. Number six, earthly treasures don't satisfy us here on earth. Can everybody say amen to that? They just don't. Leona Helmsley, the great wealthy hotel baroness that she was, had millions and millions of dollars in her account when she died. When they read her will, talking about how people do money, does crazy things and stuff, when she died, she bequeathed, she left $12 million to her little doggy. And the little doggy's name was appropriately named, seriously, Trouble. That's what she named her dog. And then after she died and the grandchildren heard about it, you know the rest of that kind of story, how they got in it and the lawyers and everything, and they wound up getting some of the money, but the little dog still got the $12 million. And then the dog died. I would love to have been a little beneficiary of Trouble. Dog gone. Okay. Earthly treasures, they don't satisfy us here on earth. Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes a little more. He says this, so I came to hate life. What? Now, think about it. This is the guy that gets to look out on his portico, and he looks at all the fruit trees that he's planted. He looks at all the groves. He looks at all of the animals that he has. He looks at all of the everything that he's got. And yet he was empty in his heart. You know what? I would rather be a man with $10 and be happy and content in my heart than be a man who is empty in my heart and not content and have $1 million. because the money's not going to buy you the happiness. Only peace and joy of Jesus Christ is going to give you contentment. I came to hate all my hate. I came to hate all my hard work here on earth for this is the one verse 18. I came to hate all my hard work here on earth, for I must leave to others everything I have earned. Wow. He looks out and he says, everything that I've done, everything I've built, everything I've bought, everything that I have gained, I'm getting ready to die. And when I die, I am going to leave it. I have to leave it to my children. And I don't know how my sons, my daughters, I don't know how they are going to take care of what I'm leaving them. Verse 19, and who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. Boy, for you moms and dads out there, and you're getting ready to write a will or a living trust or something, and if you don't trust your children and you're going to leave everything to them, I've got advice for you. Name me as your beneficiary, and I promise I'll take care of it for you. And I'll take good care of it too. Dane and I will make sure it's taken really good care of. Number 7, earthly treasures are doomed to ultimate destruction. One day, this earth and everything on it, and everything we have dear, is going to burn up. I told you a little while ago we're going to get to this part here that I would talk to you about all the things that we have and what's going to happen to it. This is that point, and this is what's going to happen to it. 2 Peter chapter 3 says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. That's what's going to happen to everything that you have worked so hard for. It's going to burn up. Yeah, but this house means an awful lot to me. It's going to burn up. Yeah, but this RV, I've worked for that, and, it's going to burn up. This CD that I have over here, I'm not talking about this. This CD that I have over here that I have put in, it's all going to burn up. Yeah, but my clothes, I've got closets full of clothes, and I've got another closet that's got shoes in it, and everything. These shoes are very important, and it's gonna burn. Everything is going to burn up one day. So now, real quick, I want to look at the positive part here, and that is this. I want to talk a little bit about that second portfolio. The second portfolio that we have is heavenly investments. Heavenly investments. Number one, heavenly investments. Heavenly investments are constantly appreciating. Okay? Heavenly investments. When you give towards missions, you are doing something that is, it is going to appreciate. It's not like the pickup truck that's depreciating. It is appreciating, and it has great value. Luke chapter 6 says this, for if you give, you will get. I love that. If you give, you will get. Your gift will return to you in full and overflowing measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use to give, large or small, will be measured back to you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Whatever measure that you give. I want to tell you something, and I've learned this from experience. Nan and I, we practice this. We give tithe, we give missions, and it is so fun to give tithe and to give missions and to be a part of God's kingdom, because we know that we are making an investment in eternity that is constantly appreciating. Number 2, heavenly investments are cared for by God. Matthew chapter 6, 20 says this, but store up for your treasures, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. Now, if you read verse 19, it says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth. And then it uses that same line, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves and break in and steal. And verse 20, it says the same thing. It says this way, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Should be a very, very simple principle for us to follow right there. Number three, heavenly investments continue through eternity. John chapter 6 says this, verse 27. But you shouldn't be so concerned about perishable things like food. No, spend your energy seeking the eternal life that I, the Messiah, can give you. We get so focused on things. We get so focused on stuff. And yet Jesus is saying, I tell you this, seek after me. Seek after me. I am the eternal Messiah. I'm the one that will give you contentment in your life. Was that number three? Yes. Just checking. Number four, heavenly investments are pleasing to God. Philippians says this, at the moment I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent to me through Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. He's the one that says it's pleasing to God. Your sacrifices are pleasing to God. Amen. Number five, heavenly investments create God-sized returns. Heavenly investments, they create God-sized returns. Returns for you. The returns that we get here on earth are minuscule by comparison to what He gives. And so my encouragement to you this morning and to all of you who are watching online is to say, be givers to God. Don't hold back. Don't be tight. Don't be chintzy. Do you know, if everybody in our church tithed, and I can look at everybody right now, right in your eyes, eye to eye, because I don't look at the offering when it's being counted, and I don't know who gives what. And I don't know if you are a faithful tither. I don't know if you're a tipper where that you put a $10 bill in there. I don't know anything about your giving. I like it that way. And that way I can look you right in the eyes and say, if you're not tithing, can I encourage you this morning to begin giving to God what is rightfully His in the first place? Do you have your wallet? Men, do you have a wallet? Take out your wallet really quick, okay? Ladies, do you have a clutch purse? Do you have something that's got a credit card in it? I want you to do something with me real quick. If you're online, wherever you are, get your wallet and just take your wallet. Some of you are holding up an iPhone right now. And I get it. I know. I get it. This here... This wallet, everybody see it? All right, hold it up now. Everybody hold it up, what you've got there. Repeat after me. This is my wallet.
This is my wallet.
And everything in it,
belongs to God.
You can put it back now. Now I'd like for the ushers to come. Hey, if you give to God, God's the one that's going to bless you. If you do what it says in Luke chapter 6, if you give bountifully, if you give pressed down, shaken together, running over, for with the same measure you give, it's going to be meted back to you. Why I think some people live in poverty, I think because they cheat God. You know, and I believe so much. I believe that God wants people to live with the blessings that He has for us. I truly believe that. I truly believe that because He is the giver of all things. And yet I know people who are wealthy, that are wealthy, and they're misers to God. And I don't know, you tell me which is worse, to live in poverty or to live in poverty to God, where that you have it but you hold back and you wonder why you don't have happiness and why you don't have joy within. It's all a spiritual thing. This today, this is all just spiritual talk here. This is all just talking about, hey, that wallet that I hold up, you know what? Even the leather wallet that I have, that belongs to God. And everything inside it belongs to God. And what I wear belongs to God. And the papers that say I own this piece of property, that doesn't belong to Michael and Nan. That belongs to God. And the truck and the car that I have, the title that says it's mine, it isn't mine. It's God's. And when we live under that umbrella of saying everything that I have is God's, it gives to us freedom. It gives to us a freedom in our life of saying, you know what, God, you've entrusted me, the title of our series, Entrusted. You've entrusted me to be a steward I shall be for you. Everybody, let's stand. I know you didn't think I was going to get through all of those points, and I did it before 11 o'clock. Please don't clap. Our worship team is coming up here. As our worship team comes up here, what I'd like you to do right now, if you're standing next to your wife or your husband, just reach over and grab their hand. If you're with a boyfriend, a girlfriend, reach over and grab their hand. It just is a sign of oneness, a sign of saying, we want everything that God gives to us to be God's. And we don't want to hold on to anything, but rather we want it all to be given to Him. And Luke says, the more you give, the more you get. Dane said this last week, and I loved it. He kept talking about give to get, give to get, give to get to give. You always end up on the giving part. And as we end up on the giving part, He is going to give more to us to give. And I thank God that He is the one who is in charge of the PayPal account, the Apple account, the checking account, the bank account, whatever you want to call it. God is in control of it all as you yield it to Him. As you continue to put Jesus Christ first in your life. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for the way that your Holy Spirit breaks it into our heart and allows it to grow within us. And I just ask, Lord, that the word that has gone forth today will grow within each of our hearts. We give you thanks for who you are, Lord. We thank you for the breakthrough that you are going to perform in every one of our lives. As we go from this place today, may we go abounding in the joy and in the peace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And together, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless every one of you as you go your way.